is two kingdoms in conflict. Two kingdoms in conflict. 2 Corinthians, not Chronicles. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. If we're all there, tell me that you're all there. I'm not there. I'm not, because I got a long way in Jesus to go. That's right. All right, it says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." You may be saying, what does that have to do with the kingdom? It has everything to do with the kingdom. Just a refresher, we've been studying about the kingdom. We know that God is king of everything. And Satan, in his ploy to get revenge on God, caused man to fall. Man became a willing participant and was duped not only in rebellion against God, but also abdicating his rightful position of the throne in ruling the domain of earth. Satan then has established his kingdom, an evil kingdom of darkness, thereby darkening the minds of people who know that there is a spiritual void within them, creating a relationship through religion, not through love of the Creator. That is the synopsis of what we've gone through. Now we're going to go deeper into understanding this conflict that we are in, where we have the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Scripture talks about darkness as a symbol of ignorance, of uncomprehension of the things of the spirit realm. Scripture also talks about light, or the kingdom of light, as wisdom, as knowledge, and as of revelation. Satan is doing all he can to keep the people of God ignorant. And as I said to you before, his first ploy is to keep us ignorant of the salvation of God. If he can't keep us from getting saved, he will try to keep us ignorant or in darkness as to who we are in God. If he can't keep us in ignorance or in darkness of that, he will try to keep us ignorant or in darkness of the power and authority we have in God. On the other hand, God is trying to bring this revelation, this progressive revelation to his people through faith in Jesus Christ and through the word of truth, to bring us to a place of comprehending or comprehension of who we are, who he is, and the power and domain that he has given to us in Jesus Christ. Amen? The problem is that I see is we really, first of all, don't believe what God says is true. And the reason for it is we don't understand the spiritual dynamics of what's happening in the Word. When I tell you a truth, you can either go one way or another, but there is something happening in the spirit realm that you may or may not be able to comprehend what's going on. So I'd ask you to turn to Matthew 13. And we're going to read verses 1 through 19. And then we're going to flip from there to Mark 4, verse 15, to see something that I want to stress. We're talking about kingdoms in conflict. And why is there this conflict that's going on? Matthew 13, we there? Starting in verse 1. "And on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, but because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun had come out, or when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root in them, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell in the ground, good ground, and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has to him, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even that which he does have, will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are you, for your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. And when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, which was sown in his heart. This is he who has received the word by the wayside. And flipping over to Mark 4, verse 15, it says, these are the ones that are by the wayside when the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. It is God's desire to give us the kingdom. It is also his desire to bring us out of darkness into his glorious light. But we have to understand that we're going to do it his way. And part of doing it his way is understanding what his way is. Jesus said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. But a lot of us don't seem to understand, because we come out of a darkness background, we feel that we can still do the same things but operate in the kingdom by those ways. The kingdom, the two kingdoms are at conflict with each other. Light and darkness cannot exist together, nor can understanding and ignorance stay together either. It's just impossible for us to gravitate and live in peaceful coexistence with these two extremes. It's just impossible. We're either in light or we're in darkness. We're either hot for Jesus or we're cold for Jesus. If we think we can be a fence sitter, then you're considered by the Lord as cold and he'll spew you out. You see, there's no middle ground in this kingdom. You're either for the kingdom or you're for the kingdom of Satan. And for us, I really believe that for us to grab a handle on what has to happen is we have to understand that there is a conflict in our minds, not in God's mind. God has arrested this conflict. He has now given us the keys of the kingdom back, but he expects us to find out how to operate these keys. And I, for one, know some of the keys. I don't know all the keys, but I do know enough in understanding these few keys that I can begin to operate these other keys in the same way as I operated the first keys, and that is by faith. Everything that happens in the kingdom is by faith and revelation. It's light. You can't do something in the kingdom of light through darkness. It just doesn't happen. That's where John says, you know, it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. So if it's impossible for God to lie, then it is always possible for Him to continuously tell us the truth. And I don't know about you, but I think most of us would believe the lie before we believe a truth. Because that's what we're comfortable with, right? And so we have this conflict that's going on within us all the time, that when truth is being espoused, we don't receive it. Why? Because the Word says immediately the devil comes and takes it. How many of us have read a scripture and read a scripture and read a scripture and we didn't understand it? Then all of a sudden, you know, out of the clear blue, we may hear a message on the radio or see something on TV or through just general conversation, bang, we get this revelation like, oh man, I finally got it. All of us have experienced that and should continue to experience that. The problem is when we get that revelation, what do we do with it? And this is very important for us to understand. It is not an option for us to get all this information and do nothing with it. It's impossible. It's just like it's impossible that when we go to work, we don't work. We have a job to do, right? And if we don't do our job, we won't have a job. Right? It's the same thing. God has given us a job to do. My job is to train you, according to Ephesians 4, for the works of the ministry. My job is not to do the ministry, although I do the ministry, but it's to train you to do the works of the ministry. What does that mean? That means you're to go and evangelize. You're to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You're to go and help the sick. You're to go to the prisons. You're to do this. You're to do that. And so am I. And this is where Satan has gotten us, because we've all come from denominational mindsets that says the pastor does everything, I'm a congregant, I pay my tithe, and then that's it. No. You give your tithe, and you also shoulder the responsibility of the work. That's why it's called communion, because it's community. There's a common union for us. For us to sit here day after day and not do anything really disappoints the Lord and excites Satan. Because you know what? You're a threat to Satan. You really are. And the moment you believe and start exercising in faith, you are a serious threat. Whether you understand it or not, you become a serious threat. How many of us have said, you know what, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and as we step out to do X, all of a sudden, things start happening in our lives. And what we do is we then focus our attention on those things, forgetting that we're supposed to do X, Y, and Z. And then, of course, I call you in and I say, hey, how's things going? Oh, great, Pastor. I think, why am I here? Well, you know, the Lord was speaking to me about something, and He asked me to ask you, why aren't you continuing on X, Y, and Z? Well, you see, I got this problem that crept up, and I got that problem that crept up, and I got this going on. I just, you know, I can't. Who's the king of your life? Is Satan the king of your life? Because he's the one that's causing all this stuff to happen. Or is God the king of your life, who, through the circumstances of all this stuff going on, will help make a way for you to go through this successfully and continue to do what God has told you to do? Doesn't he tell us in Isaiah, you know, that when you go through the fire, I'm there in the midst of it? When you go through the waters, I'm in the midst of it too, that neither shall devour you, but in the midst of it there is a purification that happens in us. And believe me, I hate the trial, but I'll tell you what, I see the end coming. And I am rejoicing in my spirit, because after a whole year of this garbage that I've had to go through, I am rejoicing that I can see the end. And you know what the beauty of it is? He's told me that He sees the end for you too. He has. He's told me that. It's only for a season. It's only for a season. But in this season, He is preparing His people through all these trials and tribulations that we are going through. All this wrestling that we got in conflict with one another. And all this conflict between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. There is something good that's going to come out of it. And that something good that's going to come out of it is a changed person. Because if you can change the way that you think in spite of the circumstances, your circumstances will change and God wants to bless you in such a way that it'll knock your socks off. It all goes back to that elementary teaching that I'd done a couple years ago. If you're holding on like this, God can't get to you something that He wants to give to you. You have to release it in order to receive it, to release that. Amen? God's not holding anything from us. We're holding it from receiving it. And that's where Satan comes into play and he says, you know what? Man, you really messed up over here. Nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about your situation. Nobody understands your situation. But you know what? That's not true. That is not true. I could sit down with each and every one of you and we could swap horror stories about what this last year has been. Jesus wins. He wins. All it is showing that, you know what, we're going through similar things, but what is it that keeps us going on to do the things of the kingdom? And what are the things of the kingdom? Healing the sick. Eating anything that's harmful to you that won't kill you. You'll be fine. Sharing the good news. Your testimony is good news. What has Jesus done for you? And what is He doing for you? And what does He want to do with those that you're trying to reach? You see, prayer is one thing. And Satan doesn't care about us praying. He cares about us getting up off our knees and start carrying the gospel to all the world. That's what he cares about. He doesn't want people to hear the truth. He doesn't want people to see the light of the love of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want them to come to the revelation that, you know, the end is almost here. He doesn't want them to come to a place of saying that my life can make a difference in spite of my circumstances. Where God shines His word of truth upon us and says, you know what, I love you guys. I want you guys to go. In spite of all this stuff that's going on, don't let that be a shackle to your ankle to keep you from accomplishing that which I've purposed for your life. I read a thing this morning. I forget who wrote it, but it says, today's the day that you can become the person that you never thought you could be. And it's really true. It really is. Today's the day. God has done something in your life. He has given you His very Spirit within Him for you to become something that you never thought you could be. The difference is, are you going to believe what He's telling you and begin to structure your life in that reality? Or are you going to listen to truth and let Satan continuously steal that away before you even get it planted into your life? That's where it comes down to. This conflict is real. This conflict starts right here through here. We have not learned how to transfer our faith. We can hear God. God speaks to me. All right. Well, why isn't your life changing? Well, you know, I got all this stuff going on. Remember, God speaks to my spirit to enlighten my mind, to motivate my flesh to accomplish His will. His will is over and above what our will is. Whether people understand why we're doing it or not is immaterial. The question is, are we going to keep Satan free in our lives to keep us from being that which God has created us to be and do those things that He has set up for us? He said He has created us for good works in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians 1. That's why He created us. And there are things out there that you can do that I can't do. You've got people that you can reach that I would never reach. You've got gifts and talents that I do not have that I sorely need to be manifested in order to make this ministry mushroom into this community in such a way that we are impacting not only our lives, but our families, our communities, our planet for Jesus Christ. And it all starts with one act. Today, God, I am not letting Satan beat my brains in anymore. Your word says, boom, 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 and I'm going to trust it. I'm not going to allow my eyes to deceive me that these circumstances are far more important than what you're telling me I need to be doing. I don't care what the opinions of what my family and friends are saying. God, your word is the truth, and let every man be a liar. Then I'm going to stand on your truth. I don't care what happens. Your word tells me by your stripes, I am healed. I am healed. It's whether I believe it or not. It's whether I act upon it or not. You know, that may be too far for you. That's okay. It's a progressive revelation of Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. The kingdom of God is built upon sure promises, not just ifs or maybes. They are sure. And God is for us. He says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If God be for us and Satan is throwing this stuff at us, then why is it we are not prospering? Why are we allowing this stuff to come into our lives to prosper against us? Maybe it's because what's coming out of our mouths and what's filling our head isn't from God. Think about it. Think about it. I haven't even touched my notes yet. But Satan comes. You know, the gospel is here. It's real. It's not for us to run in fear or anything. You know, I can remember friends of mine when communist Russia was still in there, and they were involved with ministry to the underground churches in Russia. And the Lord spoke to me after one of them come back and says, and so it shall be in this nation too. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, how can that be? We live in a country that's free. He says, you are only as free as the government allows you to be. But I have given you freedom that they cannot take from you. It's like, whew, okay. And all this week, I'm watching things that is going on in my house, and God is reminding me of all the lessons that I've had to go through. And he says, not once did you falter. Yeah, you murmured and complained in it, but you continued the process to go through. You continued to allow me to work in your life and allow these good works to be manifested. We understand that as babies, we can get tripped up really quick, you know, and we need somebody there to help us and encourage us and lift us up and all. But ultimately, it's our responsibility to take the gospel to our friends. Whether they understand it or not is immaterial. What they're looking at is your life to see if there's a reality or a validity to what you're saying. That's the truth. And I've shared with you time and time again, guys in work, They weren't converted, but they saw that there was a consistency in our lives. It doesn't matter if you're 14, 15 years of age, your friends need to see Jesus Christ through you. They've already seen what the deal is with who you are. They will need to see who Jesus is through you. And they need to see it through me. How is it that Satan has gotten this ploy? Turn to Colossians 1. How has he been able to get us off track? I say it's because we don't believe what God tells us. And here's the truth. Colossians 1, verses 12 through 14 says, giving thanks to the Father. Let's go back up. Let's start in verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, that is the good news, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, or light. Be filled with light. Okay? Because you're children of the light. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. As we continue through this process, our knowledge of God is going to increase. It's not going to decrease. We're going to be able to see more of God than when we first started. And the more we see of God, the more God is able to use us through the glorious gospel. Okay? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. Oh, I love that verse. That just tickles me pink. Long suffering and joy and patience, of which I ask you not to pray for me in that anymore. Please. I've had enough. I just can't contain this good stuff. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He has already delivered us. So why are we acting like we're still in the kingdom of darkness? Why? He has already delivered you. Why are you still acting as though you've not been delivered? And the reason for it is because we haven't had our minds enlightened, because Satan keeps the minds of men in darkness. We don't believe the truth. We don't mix it. That's why Israel couldn't enter into the promised land that first generation, because they didn't mix faith with the truth. They heard the word, they believed the word, but they didn't mix it with faith and go in. And so they walked 40 years out in the desert till a new generation came up and said, yeah, we're going to go in there and we're going to kick butt and we have the booty and the whole nine yards. All the milk and honey is ours. God says it is. Let's do it. Are you that generation? I believe you are. I believe you're that Joshua generation, because God says you are. You may not see it right now, but as you can start walking this thing out, start professing Jesus Christ, start living as Christ lived, start acting as Christ lived, more and more of this glorious gospel will exude from you. The reality of who you are will become manifested in that. Not by the trials and tribulations. They're used to knock that stuff off of us so that more of God can radiate from us. That's the purpose of all this. Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. Just want you to chew on this. Verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We are fools because we do not fear God. And you've heard me say this. We don't fear God because if we feared God, we would receive His goodness, His knowledge, and we would implement it immediately. Dead ant? I don't know what it was. Okay, that's where Satan is. He's under my feet. We must ask God to reveal himself in such a way that a holy fear comes upon us. Not in a fear that keeps us from becoming who we are, but in a fear of understanding who he is in comparison to what the world is about. See, our Father is glorious. Is that it? I don't know what it is. But it's dead, okay? In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. But you see, the scriptures, if you don't cultivate the scriptures in such a way to allow the Holy Spirit to start connecting them, then all we have is religion. But God is restoring us to a relationship. When we begin to understand, just like I'm making a joke, but I've prayed with people and they've been healed. They rise and walk. Because I just believe God. God's greater than me. God just wants to use me. So I get out of the way and let him go. You see, it's being plugged in, not trying to comprehend anything. The comprehension comes after. Ooh, that's a good idea. You just go with it. But Satan doesn't want you to use it. He doesn't want you to know who you are. He wants to keep you in prison. He hates you and he hates me. He hates God. But you know what? You're not that generation before. You are a generation filled with light. The fullness of dwelling in Christ now dwells in who? You. That means all that God is, was, and will ever be is in you. There's nothing stopping you except what's between your ears. We're stopping ourselves because we don't believe the Word of God. And that's why we're constantly wrestling. Satan hears the Word, he sees the Word, he steals the Word. Have you ever watched birds? I did this back in the spring. I was seeding. And as I'm seeding, the birds are coming and stealing the seed as I'm putting it down. No wonder there's no grass in our yard. But they do this. But the seed that gets into the stones and gets into the other spots, they don't go for it because that's hard to do. Satan is going to steal the Word fresh from you so it doesn't get into your heart. And when he does that, you're still walking in darkness. And God doesn't want that for you, and he definitely doesn't want it for me. He wants us to put this world upside right before he comes. He wants us to be sparkling and radiating in the glory as a bride when he comes for us. And he's coming. He's coming. And he's not coming for a church that's mamby-pamby. He's not coming for a church that still believes that Jesus is in the manger. He's coming for a church that is without spot or wrinkle, who have become overcomers of this conflict, who have realized that there is nothing stopping us. Nothing that can stop the move of God. This last move of God is going to be like a tsunami that is going to sweep over the world. And we are going to be the ones riding the crest of this wave of the Spirit like never before. And then it's the end. It's the end. This crest of the Spirit is going to be the end time harvest that you and I are going to be privileged enough to be a part of that is happening, beginning to start to happen right now. But you gotta believe. You gotta believe that God wants to use you. You gotta believe that the circumstances that you're in today, as used by faith, start stepping out in the Word of God, believing His Word, not the circumstances that our eyes can see, but believe what the spiritual realm is saying to us, and stepping out fully convinced that, you know what? God's got my life in His hands and He's got good things for me. Good things. I made a mess of my life, but you know what? God put that under the blood and gave me His life. A life of success, of power, of authority, of meaning, of glory, of fully comprehending what it's all about. Understanding, as Jesus said to the disciples, to you it has been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To you. Don't let Satan beat your brains in anymore. Fear God. Get out of this poverty mentality. Get out of it. Because our God, as I said to you, His kingdom is rich and wealthy. He has things He wants to bestow upon the church that we have not even begun to ask for. Because we're still walking around like this, looking on the ground. Oh, my, oh, woe is me. Oh, God. When the reality of it is, praise you, Lord, don't matter what this garbage is, we're going through this. We're on the highway to heaven, and that's all there is to it. And I'm grabbing as many people who want to tag along with me. Let's do it. The choice is yours. It really is. It's the choice of yours. But until that time, and you've had enough of Satan beating your brains in, and you start delving into the Word, you start studying the Word, not reading, but studying the Word, then you will come to that fuller understanding of who God is and how great His love is for you and for us and for mankind. He loves mankind. He doesn't hate us. And He wants the world to understand this. And the only way they're going to understand it is if we open up our mouths. Who cares if they ridicule us? They ridiculed our Lord. Who cares? They spit on us and make fun of us. They did that to our God. Who cares if they threaten to kill us? And I'll read a scripture to you. that this should be our attitude in this battle. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 58 says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." When we allow our situations and our circumstances to dictate what's priority, other than God's word and will, we're in darkness. Satan has successfully shipwrecked us or derailed us off the tracks of life. And he's done a wonderful job. He has not changed his tactics because he knows how ignorant we are. And he takes advantage of that. But as we move from darkness into light and purpose to believe God's word, no matter what our situation, our circumstances is saying, and we take God's word and we begin to speak His word into here, we're giving life to what God wants to do in this realm. Remember, I said we have to learn to see ourselves seated in heavenly places, which we are, according to Ephesians. We need to see it from God's perspective. That means understanding what His will is. And then we must confess with our mouths what God has confessed to us through His word. Because when we come into an agreement, it's established. Two or more agree on anything, it shall be established. Where Christ said, "It shall be done for you." Well, if you're in agreement with God, there's nobody else that needs to be in that circle. And it's three plus you, that's four. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Wanting to do the impossible. All He's saying is do the possible things. And that is become obedient to His word. Live our lives in a way that glorifies Him. No matter what Satan throws against us, no matter what people say, understand that Satan has darkened their minds, but our minds will be open so that we can motivate our flesh to accomplish His will or do good works. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your word, God. I pray and exhort Your people, God, to today begin to really look at Your word in a way, Father, that will open up their spirits to different realms and deeper realms of You, God. Father, I ask that You reveal to them their purpose in life, God, and that their purpose is a divine purpose, God. That they're not here by accident, God. They're not here because of anything, but because of Your love for them, Lord. God, I ask that You richly bless them. Them who are in need of employment, God, I just ask that You open doors for them, God. Father, cause them to see the goodness of God. Father, I pray for those who are ailing and sick right now, God. Pour Your blood upon them, God, because by Your stripes we have been made whole. God, and Your word is true. Father, I pray for those who are in darkness of their minds, God. I pray that as they pick up Your word today and every day, God, that You would bring revelation to them. Holy Spirit, You have been given to us as a personal tutor. Begin to tutor Your people. In Jesus' name I ask. God, I just ask for the creativity that You are beginning to birth in the worship team, God. The creativity that You have placed in each and every one of us, God, begin to emanate from us. That God, those dreams and visions that You have given to us, God, that Lord, that we would act upon them, Father. That if we're not sure what they mean, that God, we begin to ask those in leadership, God, to help them come to an understanding or comprehension of what they mean. That God, we would write down the vision so that those who in time would read them would run with it, God. God, I pray for this Joshua generation. I pray for courage, God. A fearlessness, Lord God, that it's never been like before. God, I pray that their lives would be salt and light to this world. But most importantly, God, I pray that you would lead us, God. I am nothing. I am nothing. But if you lead us, God, we will follow you. We will follow you, God, unto glory. Change us from glory to glory. Change us from faith to faith. Cause us to grow up in you, Jesus. Allowing the elementary things to fall away that we may possess the kingdom that you are so willingly to give to us. I pray against the enemy who would try to cause circumstances to continue to arise. And God, may your word go forth that it is coming to an end. That God, we may see your hand move mightily amongst your people. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.